So this morning, we're going to be talking a little bit about listening, as well as speaking, and the context of prayer. Prayer is, it should be a normal part of our Christian life. Something that we do on a regular basis. How we do it is very individual. How God speaks back is very individual. But this idea of speaking to God and listening to God, they're important tools for us in our faith. So let's start out with just a quick question. You're invited to give me an answer, by the way. So how do you know when someone is listening to you? How can you tell? What are the signs that someone is listening to you?
Eye contact.
Okay, eye contact. They're not talking.
Giving their full attention to you.
Okay, giving their full attention to you.
Body language.
Body language. Give me an example.
Well, it's, you know, if I'm sitting across the table talking to my wife, you know, you could tell by the nod of her head or the body language that she's really paying attention. Or you could tell by the feeling with the phone that, okay, Dad, you're done talking. I really don't want to hear it.
Phone, remote controls, televisions, they all create... Yes, Bill.
Oh, you know, just hearing a reply that has to do with what you're talking about, you know, an acknowledgement of specifically what you're talking about.
Not just,
Yeah.
So, we call that reflecting, being able to speak back what you're hearing. Yes, very good. How else do you know someone is listening?
When they use what you've taught them or something.
Okay. When they actually act on it, they do something with what they're hearing. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Solomon is setting up what the Proverbs are about. And he begins by saying, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let the wise listen. There is something about the ability to be a good listener that also goes along with the ability to gain wisdom. Not everything that is said to me is necessarily wise. But part of what I'm responsible to do is to be a good listener in order to discern where wisdom comes and where foolishness comes. The Proverbs deals with both. We start out with being called to listen, to be someone who will engage in listening. In prayer, that listening, it's hard. Does that mean sitting in silence after I say something to the Lord or ask something to the Lord? So I'm in prayer and then I just sit in silence. Could that be listening? Could be. Could listening be asking something of the Lord and then using the scriptures as a way for me to just be a good listener? We talked about the importance of reading scripture, the importance of understanding God's word and using it to apply to situations in my life. Scripture doesn't have an answer for every single thing we encounter. That's not what Scripture's for. It is for giving us good, steady guidance. There are some things that are clear in Scripture. Don't steal. Pretty obvious. There are some things that are less clear in Scripture, like how to deal with your enemies, how to respond to those who say falsehood against you. We have to look at those things, read them, and understand that Scripture gives us clear guidance. Sometimes listening can be taking something that you feel like you're hearing from God and bouncing it off of a trusted friend. And then letting that trusted friend speak into your life. Sometimes listening is a matter of us actually going out and trying something. That listening without action isn't really effective. At some point, if you listen and you hear and you think you're supposed to do something, you can keep waiting until that thing happens, but God may be calling you to do something. In prayer, I'm wondering, how do you hear God? How do you hear God? God's voice is rarely audible. We know that if you say you heard God, most people will either put you in the nut house because you shouldn't actually hear the audible voice of God. Clearly in Scripture that can happen, but it's as rare if not more than a miracle. So I'm not hearing God every day. So there may be moments when God speaks in an audible voice, and I'm guessing it'll be something like what Saul encountered on the road to Damascus, and that it will be somewhat transformational for you to actually hear God's audible voice. But rare. God can speak to us in dreams. Have you ever had that happen? You have a dream, and you just kind of have a gut feeling you know what you need to do. Those also are things that when we share them with friends, they look at us a little sideways and wonder, should you be medicated? No. I still have two or three dreams in my 50 plus years of life that I remember, and I clearly believe they were dreams that God gave me. I do think those happen. Sometimes we can hear God by that gentle voice inside our spirit. This is probably the most normal. That we pray and we ask God for guidance or direction, and we feel like, okay, I should probably do this. And it usually comes off that way in our thoughts. Maybe I should try this. The challenge for us is that we will quickly discount that and say, oh, that's just me talking to myself and telling myself something that I just want to hear. Or telling myself something the opposite of what I want to hear just because, you know what I mean? And our brain starts to argue with itself. If your brain doesn't argue with yourself, raise your hand. Of course it does. That is reason working in our heads. That's the way our brains are lined up. Our brain is full of the voices of friends from the past. It's full of voices from our parents. It's full of voices from people we don't like but said something that was probably true at one point or another. It's full of all those voices. And when we start to think, all of a sudden, we start to wonder if what those voices are saying. And then we debate with ourselves. That's not a sign that you're crazy. That's a sign that your brain works. And God will use that process as we debate with ourselves, to sometimes keep coming back to the same conclusion over and over. I should do this. Or I should speak to them. Or I should take care of this. That, if that's all we do, is just settle on that answer, we haven't really listened. Because part of listening is the verb of acting upon that listening. It's one thing to listen to a song on the radio in your car. Sing out loud. Be that person in rush hour traffic that everybody's looking over saying, are they yelling into the Bluetooth on their phone or are they singing? You just never know. cars like Sarah's car, she's driving around talking to herself, as far as everybody else knows, but really she's talking to people on the phone. Sometimes that's listening. But that's not the kind of listening we're talking about today. It's the kind of listening that then, in our soul, we know we're supposed to do something, and we go try that thing we're supposed to do. Now, how many of you have had that debate in your head, you went out and tried something, and it didn't work? I will admit to that. That's okay. That's part of growing and listening more and being more attentive to how we listen. Just because we hear something in our spirit, our soul, and we think we should do something and it didn't necessarily work out the way we thought, doesn't always mean we failed. But the important part is us trying something. Let those who are wise listen and add to their learning. To listen alone is not enough. The idea is you listen and then you add to your learning. Each time we feel we heard God say, do this, and we actually act on it, and then we make that step, fail or succeed, no matter what happens, we have added to our learning. The risk of prayer, especially these solitary prayers where we're in our room in the morning or at night, or we're in the car, or wherever we are, the risk of prayer in which we just pray and we think we get an answer and then we don't do anything is that we become ineffective, Scripture says, in our faith. We don't try what we're hearing. Be a good listener. Sometimes listening requires, especially when they're big things in our life, it requires that we listen in a more active way. So if I'm debating on whether I should change jobs, I'm not, by the way, but if I were, that's one of those things I could debate about, pray about, think in my heart, I think I'm supposed to do this, and then I get ready to do that, and I just don't feel like I know yet for sure. And this is one of the things in my pattern in my life is before I ever changed jobs, left one church, went to another church, it was labor for me. God had to make it increasingly obvious, so obvious that I had no doubt in my mind that it was the right thing. I was often really slow at making those decisions. But one of the things that I would do is when I started to really feel like I was consistently hearing an answer, I'd find a trusted friend that I could talk to. One, maybe two, never five or six. You know why never five or six? Because by the time you get down to that fifth or sixth friend, you have five different answers there. And now I have effectively gone back to my prayer closet and said, I don't know what to do, God, so I'm just not going to do anything. And not doing anything, by the way, is an action in itself that will bring learning. So sometimes we can hear voice, the audible voice of God speaking to the. It is a miracle. It is something that happens rarely. If it happens to you daily, let's talk. Sometimes it
might
is
medication.
You might get a referral from me. But sometimes it is those dreams and visions. I do believe those happen. I really do. And when they do, you will wake up from that dream or vision and know in your heart that it was God speaking to you. Sometimes it's that gentle nudge, that quiet voice in your heart that says, this is the right thing to do, Lee. And I know you don't want to do it, but this is the right thing. And sometimes it's the voice of a friend. Now, being a good listener is an important part. Sometimes part of what we need to do is be a good speaker also. The Proverbs also remind us this about wisdom. And wisdom is personified in Proverbs. It's given the voice of this woman who is wise and speaks wisdom. Listen, and wisdom is the one talking here. I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. To the discerning and all of them that are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. And nothing you can desire compares to her. Sometimes speaking is an important part of our relationship with God in prayer. And I would say that just as important to listening, sometimes it's important for us to be able to speak clearly to God. Sometimes Paul says that those are groanings that only the Spirit can understand. The words are too deep or too complex or too hard to share with God. And we simply set in prayer with this sense of heaviness. God understands and hears. But sometimes we're reminded that we need to say exactly what we feel to God. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Have you ever sat down and just made that overwhelming list of everything that you need God to answer? Everything that you need. It's a discipline to be able to sit down and list those things that you need from God. But here's the benefit of that. Is sometimes we forget over the coming years how many times God responded to those needs because we're right off to the next need. If you're anything like me, my life is geared towards meeting needs, not towards slowing down and celebrating what's already been done. I'm always off to the next thing. To take a moment and actually write down your list of prayer requests can help us with clarity when we're talking to God. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my prayers, if I'm not a little bit disciplined with what I do, and I keep a prayer journal, I have one that I keep in my backpack, and I write out, sometimes I draw out, my things and the things that I pray. And I spend time doing that because it's one of the few ways that I can stay focused. When I start to pray, you know what happens to me a lot of times when I start to pray? I start making the grocery list or the list of things to do during the day. So I keep my to-do list next to me and I just jot it down really quick so that I can think, okay, I'll remember that. But I'm going to go back to praying and talking to God. Now that's my brain. My brain is filled with clutter. It's filled with all the little things that have to happen. And if I'm not careful, what do? I stop praying and I take care of that thing. And the next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock in the evening and I've never gone back to that time that I really wanted to spend devoted to God. My brain's busy. So to start with that list in front of me and to stay focused on that. Why do we keep a list of prayer requests from our church? Christina, it would be fun sometime to go back through that list and just think about the things that God did to answer our prayers. The yoke of God is easy on us because He has allowed us to be fully transparent with Him with no fear. All you have to do is read the Psalms and listen to David as he wags his finger at heaven. Here's David, this puny little king of a puny little country, of a puny little people, wagging his finger at the God of the universe saying, "Where are you now?" And God never is afraid of that moment. Because he understands that our ability to see is limited. Describe what you need from God without blaming. To be clear, our communication to God is important, and it's also okay to simply describe what we need to God. In James chapter 5, he says, "Is any of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Then sing songs of praise. Is any among you sick? Call for the elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. A prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you'll be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Be simple and explain what you need to God. Are you sick? Put it on the list and pray to God. And simply be responsible for doing that. Not every prayer request will be answered with yes. Not every prayer for healing will be answered with healing. That's the mystery of this thing for me. God is not a vending machine. But God does have our deepest needs in mind. And finally, explain why you're feeling this way to God. And perhaps this is the thing that we don't do well with each other. I don't share my feelings really well with a lot of people. Some of you are that way. Some of you share your feelings easily. But when it comes to sharing these things with God, Jesus said these words, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For anyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks will find. And the one who knocks will have the door opened. Which of you, if you had a child who asked for bread, would give them a stone? Or, if they asked for a fish, would give them a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you." This sums up the law and the prophets. Today, I have for us our practice for the week. I don't know if these have been beneficial. And I would be interested to know if these have been beneficial. I don't know that I want to ask that today, since I made another one. But what I've done is I've given us each a basic worksheet to go home this week. And what I'd like for you to do is at least 4 or 5 times this week spend some time in prayer. Maybe you need to make a list of prayer requests. And while you're at it, if you suddenly remember a prayer that you prayed last week and it's been answered, or that you feel like you have some clarity, write that down and go ahead and cheat and put, "I've already answered one." There's really not a cheat in that. Take time to slow down and listen. Discern which of those voices in your head is talking. Be a good listener this week. I really want to encourage us to openly express our feelings to God. For some of us, there are feelings of doubt. I know I've talked to people in this room who wonder why their loved ones continue to struggle. I don't have that answer. But I know that it's a safe place to express that to God. And then stay focused this week. Keep a little piece of paper there to write down your to-do list, because it will start distracting you from prayer. And focus just on the prayer at hand. This is not a put in a quarter and get out of prayer answer. But it is something that we can be better at practicing. I'm going to work on it too this week. So I invite you to do that with me. May we go from here today and be both listeners and speakers as we continue to relate to our loving God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.